take your Bible and let's turn to the book of Jonah. Again, I want to remind you that if you have a prayer request and you would like for it to be on our prayer list, get it to Sister Doris before you leave tonight, okay? I have a couple of announcements to make. One is many of you have been praying for Charlie Seal, and Charlie is still in the hospital, and I want to encourage you to continue to pray for him. His numbers are still low, and so if you would, please pray for Charlie and Karen Seal. Also, if you would, pray for Sharon Padilla. She was scheduled to have her surgery tomorrow, but after speaking with Brother Frank tonight, that surgery has been postponed and rescheduled for the 27th of this month due to sickness, and not Sharon's sickness, but her physician's sickness. And so please pray for Sharon as she now has that that surgery rescheduled. Tomorrow will be the celebration of life, the funeral for Miss Hoffman. And so if you would, please pray for that family. We have three of the granddaughters right here in our congregation. Pray for Steve and the family. Pray for these granddaughters, Cassie and Amber and Taylor and their husbands and families, that God would be with them and that he would minister to them during this time. Jonah chapter number 3. Are you there? If you're there, say amen. All right, let's stand to our feet. We have completed an overview, certainly not an in-depth study, but an overview of chapter 1 and 2. As we are going through the minor prophets, we came to the book of Jonah. We've got through 1 and 2. And tonight I want to just give you a highlight of chapter number 3. All right? Let's read the first four verses together. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose. Well, that's different, isn't it? It's different chapter 1. Chapter 1 said, but Jonah. Right? When God came to him and spoke to him, it says, but Jonah arose and went in a different direction. This doesn't say but, it says so. That's the word of obedience. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the privilege that we have to gather ourselves together. And we have received the call in our hearts. Thank you for the desire that you place in our hearts when you save us by your grace to gather together in the house of the Lord. Thank you for providing this place that we could come to. And God, thank you for living in a country that we have these freedoms that we enjoy. You have given us this freedom to worship you. You have placed this desire in our heart. And so I pray that as the word of God is open, our hearts would be open to your word. And we would hear what the Spirit said to the church this evening. Help me. God, I know that you don't need me, but I need you. And I pray that you'd help me tonight to preach what you've laid on my heart. And I pray that it would be used of you to help your people and to honor the name of Jesus. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. Well, as we come to Jonah chapter 3, let me see if I've got my phone. Let me get this on, Tracy, so if I walk away here. Okay. As we come to Jonah chapter 3, last week we talked a little bit about how that chapter 3 kind of is a transition from the first two chapters. Chapter 1 in the first couple of verses starts out where the word of the Lord came into Jonah. And then chapter 3 says, the word of the Lord came into Jonah the second time. Now, I don't see anywhere between the first time that the word of the Lord came to Jonah and the second time in chapter 3 where God spoke to Jonah through his word. I do believe that God spoke to Jonah through his works. I believe the storm, God was speaking to Jonah. I believe that the fish that was prepared, God was speaking to Jonah. I believe that the mariners on the ship that went to Jonah and said, you know, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, what's wrong with you, man? What are you doing? Why have you put us in this fix? I believe God was using all of these things to speak to Jonah. Now, when God speaks to us and we do not listen through his word, God has ways to speak to us to get our attention. Now God has Jonah's attention. And it, as chapter 2 ends, it ends with the scripture saying, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry ground. I want you to try to picture in your mind what's happened here. All right? I mean, in short order, Jonah is on a boat, he's on a ship, and this raging storm comes. Everyone thought their life was going to be over. Their life was in jeopardy. They began to chunk cargo and things overboard. And eventually, they came to Jonah, and Jonah said, listen, you know, the only way this storm is going to end is if you throw me overboard. And we talked about all the types that are involved in that with the Lord Jesus and how that Jonah's a picture of sin, but then becomes a picture of Jesus. You know, Jonah didn't run and jump overboard. He said, you've got to throw me overboard. You have to be responsible for my death. And Jesus said, just listen. He said, I'll give you one sign. He told the scribes and Pharisees, and he said, that sign is the sign of Jonah. Isn't that what he said? And we see it. We saw that. But now I want to get to this part. Okay, so the fish has vomited out Jonah. And there he is. But God comes back to him. Isn't that something? I just want to mention this. I'm not going to preach this, but I do want to mention it. I want you to just think about this for a moment. The patience of God. How patient God is with us. It'd be easy to read this and say, my, how patient God is with Jonah here. But you know, God's patient with you too. God's patient with me too. Aren't you glad that God is forbearing and long-suffering? I'm so thankful for that. You know, it'd been very easy for God just to have moved away from Jonah and moved on from him and raised up another prophet. But God didn't do that because God had a purpose for his prophet Jonah. Can I tell you, God has a purpose for you too. And it'd be easy at times for God just to move on from me and God just to move on from you. But I'm glad God doesn't do that. God wants to complete that work. Now, God saved us to conform us unto the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. All right? And God left us here for a purpose. And we'll talk about that a little more in just a moment. Some people think, well, God left me here to perfect me. Well, you know, I'm not saying that that shouldn't happen. And I believe that it should. But I believe that there's a greater cause that God leaves us here when he saves us. If God's sole purpose in saving me was to perfect me, he'd save me and take me to heaven. Amen. Right? Yeah. I mean, why would God leave me down here to hear my teaching or other men's teaching when I could be out there hearing Paul teach? Samuel. Jesus himself. You're talking about getting perfected. Right? I mean, you say, well, is that going to perfect us? Well, we'll have a glorified body for sure. But we're going to continue to learn in heaven, brethren. And so if it's God's purpose only just to make me more knowledgeable of him and more knowledgeable of the scripture and more knowledgeable of God's plan and purpose, then God would just save me and call me on to heaven. So why does God leave us here? I think we find it right here. God didn't give up on Jonah because there was a people that God wanted to send a prophet to. And God went back to Jonah and he said, Jonah, those people still need to hear my word. Amen. Can I tell you, there's still people that need to hear God's word. And that's why God's left you here. And that's why God has me here. You say, well, God hasn't called me to preach. Well, you don't have to be a God-called preacher to have a commission from God to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's made us all witnesses. That's right. And you shall be witnesses unto me. When? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so God went back to Jonah and said, Jonah, he said, the mission is not complete. And so though Jonah had been through a lot, God didn't give up on Jonah. And I'm so glad that he didn't. And I'm so glad that God doesn't give up on me when I fail him
and when I don't do what God says to do. Now, I want to make this very clear here tonight, and because I spoke with someone this week, and it just didn't sit well with me. You know, when we're talking to people about serving God or not serving God, sometimes people will say something along these lines, well, you know, I'm not perfect. And I'm just scratching my head thinking, well, that's not news, is it? I mean, there's none of us perfect, but that doesn't... So what are we going to do about that? Just sit back and use excuses for not serving God? For a person to take that mindset, and I want you to hear me tonight. Get out of that mindset. If you have that mindset, I'm going to ask you to please dismiss that from your mind. Please don't use, well, you know, it's poor old Jonah. We can't be hard on Jonah. He's not perfect. I'll tell you how God dealt with a man who didn't think he was perfect. God put him through a great storm. Amen. God sent a big fish to swallow him up. And so if we have this mindset, well, you know, I can just do about half because I'm not perfect, we don't understand the awfulness of sin and the holiness of God. God expects us to strive for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. Is that right, brethren? Amen. And so please don't take that approach. When God commands you to do something, when God commands me to do something, let's not take the approach, well, you know, if I don't do it, God will forgive me. You don't understand some things. And I want to help you to understand the grace of God holds us to a high standard. The grace of God. I'm not talking about the law. The grace of God holds us to a high standard. And so I just want to encourage you not to think that that we can just say, well, you know, we're not perfect, so I'm not going to really give it my all. We ought to give it our all. Amen. Are you all in? All in. I hope you're all in. Please don't be one of these that's just dragging along and has that mindset, you know, well, you know, I can't do everything. I can't do this. I can't do that. And I'm not perfect. Please erase that from your mind and know that you can do all things through Christ which strengthened you. And by the grace of God, you are what you are. And God has called you with a purpose and a plan. And he will empower you to do what he's called you to do. Serve God with gladness in your life. Amen. Don't use that approach. Well, you know, we're just sinners. Yeah, but we're saved by grace. Amen. And the grace of God teaches us that we're to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Right? Amen. So don't you let the devil get the edge on you now. Don't do that. Don't do that. So here's Jonah. And he said, I'm not going to go. And God said, well, yeah, you are. And he said, no, I'm not. And God said, yeah, you are. And here he is. I don't know what Jonah looked like when that fish spit him out. I don't know. When the whale vomited him up on the shore. I don't know what Jonah looked like. I have no idea of knowing. He might have looked just as fresh as he'd ever looked. But he might have looked like he had been soaking in gastric juices for about 3 days and three nights. I don't know what he looked like. But I know this. God went to him and he said, Jonah, I'm not through with you. I still, in spite of all that you've done. And by the way, if you just look at how patient God is, all that God did in and through Jonah, he did it because he loved him. But he did it for a different purpose than that. He certainly does love Jonah. But God loved the Ninevites. And God wanted Jonah. God had a message for the Ninevites. And he wanted Jonah to deliver that message. Did you know that there's people that you work with, there's people that I'm associated with, there's people that we will see, already seen this week, and we'll see before the end of this week. They need us to share the gospel with them. Amen. Share the gospel. Share the gospel with someone this week. We're coming up on missions conference. And please don't think, well, you know, this is a time when we're going to be thinking about people going to Spain or the Ivory Coast or the Netherlands. And we are. But don't forget now that we are to be missionaries at the workplace, at the schoolhouse, in the neighborhood. Right, brethren? Amen. And so God went to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. I'm so thankful that God gives other chances, aren't you? I'm so thankful that God gives another chance. And God gave Jonah another chance. I'm thankful for that. That's the kind of God we serve. It's the God of grace. And I'm thankful for it, a God of patience. And he said, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. Now, he changed it just a little bit. And we talked about this a little bit last week. He didn't say preach against it. If you'll go back to chapter number 1, I really think this is important. You say, now, preacher, I don't think it's important. Well, that's okay. That's all right. I believe the Holy Spirit of God does things for a reason. If you look at chapter 1, verse number 2, he said, I want you to cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But in chapter number 3, he didn't say that. He said, I want you to preach to them. He didn't say cry against them. And he didn't say because their wickedness has come up. He said, I got a message I want you to give them. John, I've got a message I want you to give them. Now, I want you to keep in mind and bear in mind that Jesus, he said, I'm going to give you a sign. And he said, the sign is if Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, which is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, any way you look at it. And then after that, it's no longer judgment crying out against. Notice what he said again in verse number 2 of chapter 3. He said, I've got a message that I want you to preach unto them. Now, brethren, I'm glad that when you go, when I go, when Brother Roblin goes, when these missionary families that we support and are going to be looking at this week and fellowshipping with and praying for and considering for support as they go to the field of service that God's called them to, I'm glad God's given us a message. Aren't you glad for that? You don't have to come up with a message. God's given us the message. And the message is Jesus saves. That's the message. It's the greatest message ever. There's no greater message than that. What greater message could you give to anyone in all the world than Jesus saves? Amen. What a message. And he says, I want you to preach the message in chapter number 3 and verse number 2. I want you to preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And by the way, no person should ever change that message. God said, it's my message. I want you to preach my message. If I'm going to be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ, I'm going to have to preach God's message. I can't preach my message. Amen. Every preacher needs to preach God's message. All of us. Listen, as a Christian, you need to give God's message. God's message. See, God's word is what changes lives, brethren. God's word. And so he said, I want you to preach the message that I bid unto thee. Look at verse number 3. So Jonah arose. He learned his lesson. Okay? He arose. And he went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. All of this has missions written all over it. Amen. I mean, God had called Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go. Now Jonah's going, and he's doing it according to the word of the Lord. I just hope that we are getting this, that we're understanding God has a plan and a purpose. And if we will do things according to the word of the Lord, this church is a testimony. Every need of this church has been met because we have chosen to do things according to the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen. And so now Jonah gets it. Jonah's not going to do it his way. He's going to do it according to the word of the Lord. And it says, now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And it says it again down in, another place it talks about Nineveh. Verse number 2, it says, that great city. I want to read something to you about Nineveh, and then we'll get the next couple of points and close the message this evening. I came across this, and I want to read it to you. Just so we could understand, if we know something about Nineveh, it helps us to understand why Jonah, or at least to get a little bit of insight of possibly why Jonah said, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go. Now, if you don't know, you just think, well, you know, this is just a guy, this is just a rebellious prophet. I don't think Jonah was a bad man at all. I think Jonah was actually, when you read 1 Kings, I think Jonah was a good prophet. I think he was a good man. But, you know, good men can make bad decisions. Is that right? Absolutely. I believe Jonah was a good man. I believe he was a good servant of God. But Jonah knew some things about the people that God had called him to go preach to. And I'll prove that from the scripture here in just a moment, but I want you to listen carefully. Nineveh is called a great city. Four times. Chapter 1, verse 2, chapter 3, verse 2, chapter 3, verse 3, and chapter 4, verse 11. Archaeologists tell us that the adjective is well deserved. It was great in history. Having been founded in ancient times, many believe, by Nimrod, which was Noah's great-grandson. It was about the size of 600,000 people, and that is inferred in Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. The suburbs was about 60 miles. One wall of the city, according to archaeologists, had the circumference of 8 miles and boasted 1,500 towers. So please don't think that where God was calling Jonah to go was some backwoods, mountain, rural place in the sticks. Big city. Lots of people. Okay? But they were not just any people. When you read the book of Nahum, you find that this was a bloody city. This was a people that took life for granted. They did not care for children or infants. They killed them on a whim. They had absolutely no regard for the sanctity of life whatsoever. Read the book of Nahum, in particular chapter 3 sometimes. It'll tell you a little bit about the city that God had called Jonah to. The city was not only great in history, but it was great in splendor and influence, being one of the leading cities of the powerful Assyrian empire. It was built near the Tigris River. Its merchants traveled the empire and brought great wealth into the city. And the Assyrian armies were feared everywhere. Nineveh was not only great in history and in influence, it was great in sin. For the Assyrians were known far and wide for their violence, showing no mercy for their enemies. They impaled live victims on sharp poles, leaving them to roast to death in the desert sun. I'm glad that we've dismissed the children. But this is real. Okay? These people were brutal. These people were heartless. These people were savage. They were pagan. They were heathen. But they were loved of God. Isn't that something? Maybe you have a neighbor that you think there is no way that they'll ever be saved. I want to tell you something. God can save anyone. Maybe you have a family member and you say, you know what, I prayed for them, but I just don't know that they'll ever get saved. Preacher, listen to me. You keep praying. Don't you give up praying for them. God can and God will save them. You be faithful. God is faithful. They beheaded people by the thousands and stacked their skulls up in piles by the city gates, and they even skinned people alive. They respected neither age nor sex and followed a policy of killing babies and young children so they would not have to care for them in their older age. It was to the wicked people of this great city that God sent his servant Jonah, assuring him that he would give him the message to speak. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad as our missionary brother here sits here? He's already said that he's going to a place that's dark. Satan has a stronghold on. But God's already given him the message. It's in the book. We have the power of God. The word of God is the power of God and the salvation, brethren. That's what's going to get those people saved. Not a preacher's charisma. Not some trick or underhanded scheme. Preach the word. Amen. And God uses his word to save old sinners. Aren't you thankful for that? How'd you get saved? You heard the preaching of the word of God. And the same word that you received and that brought light and entrance to your heart is the same word that will be preached today around the world and this week and moving forward that still saves old sinners. Aren't you glad for that? What a hope we have. Say, well, preacher, I don't know. Are people still being saved today? Sure they are. Maybe not in the numbers that we've seen them at times, but listen, God's still saving old sinners. And God said, Jonah, I want you to go. I want to close with this. This individual says here, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God can't keep you and the power of God can't use you. Always remember that our sufficiency is in God. And so God went back to Jonah and he said, Jonah, he said, I want you to go. He said, I'm commanding you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, I'm going. And God said, I've got a message I want you to preach. And he said, I want you to preach in verse number 4. When Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You said, that doesn't sound like grace. God's given him a space for repentance. Aren't you glad for a space of repentance? I didn't see that in chapter 1. He just said, I want you to go and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But now he says, I want you to go and tell them, I'm going to give them space for repentance. Give them 40 days. Now, 40 in the scripture is a time of testing or judgment. And we know about the 40s, okay? In Noah's day, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. The spies that went in to spy out the land, right? 40 days. Israel, as they were going through the wilderness, 40 years. Even Goliath, when he was challenging the armies of Israel, challenged them for 40 straight days. Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness, was how long? It's a time of testing. It's a time of proving. And God said, we're going to see what Nineveh will do. So God spoke to Jonah. And he said, Jonah, I want you to go. Right? Now Jonah speaks to Nineveh. Jonah, in verse number 4, look at it. He began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried. You see that? God spoke to Jonah in verse 1 and 2. And he said, Jonah, get up and go. Now Jonah speaks to Nineveh. Isn't this the way it ought to be? God speaks to me, then I speak to the sinner. God speaks to you, then you speak to the sinner. God lays someone on your heart, then you go to them, right? This is God's way, brethren. This is God's way. And this is exactly what happens here. God spoke to Jonah. Now Jonah speaks to Nineveh. And he says, 40 days. 40 days. What happened? Well, look, if you would, at verse number 5. Now Nineveh speaks to God. Look at it. So the people of Nineveh believed God. What a statement. What a statement. Did you hear what I just read about those people? Do the research. It's historical. The Ninevites, the Assyrians, it's historical. These people were absolutely brutal. But Jonah went with a message. And the Bible tells us how it's broke down. Listen, I don't know all that there is to know. The Bible doesn't say. Maybe one day in heaven. I don't know. Maybe one day we'll get to hear Jonah's testimony. I don't know what Jonah, I don't know all that he preached. I don't know how he approached it. I don't know if he went from suburb to suburb or if somehow these messengers, if you'll read, let's read it. It started with the king in verse number 5. It says, Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Now, brethren, in chapter 4, in verse number 11, it says that there was 60,000 persons. There was 120,000. And I believe this is speaking of infant children. And there are historians that say there was anywhere between 475,000 to 600,000 people. Could have been more in this area. And when Jonah preached, and I want you to listen to me, every one of them got saved. Yeah, preacher, that's impossible. Nothing's impossible with God. If I thought something was impossible with God, I promise you, I'd quit. I'd quit this. Because if one thing can be impossible, two things can. But I'm here to tell you nothing's impossible with God. And so don't you give up on your neighbor. Don't you give up on your family. Don't you give up on that neighborhood that you live in or that workplace that you work in. Don't you give up on your country. Don't you give up on America. Well, preacher, America can't have revival. Who told you that? God never told you that. God never told you he couldn't do something. You come up with that. Or you listen to someone who was discouraged or who didn't know the word of God, and they told you that, and you picked that up. Don't you ever, listen, don't you ever discount what God can do, brethren. I'm here to tell you God can do it. Bible says in verse number 6, the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes. Boy, wouldn't it be something up the road here that our leaders would do something like this? But judgment doesn't begin in the White House. Judgment begins in the church house. Judgment must begin in the house of the Lord. You see, if God's people would repent, maybe our leaders would repent. Just maybe. And so the scripture says that in verse number 7, that this king, he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry. Watch this now. Watch this. And cry mightily. You talking about conviction. This is not just people, you know, nonchalant, you know, just casually saying, well, you know, the man says repent or perish, so we might as well go ahead and get right. You know, that's not what happened here. The power of God, the conviction of God fell on this place. And these people cried mightily unto God. And he said, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Are you reading this? This is what God can do, brethren. This is what God can do. You say, preacher, our country's in a mess. I know that. I'll go further. Our world's in a mess. But it's nothing that God couldn't take care of. I hope you believe that with all of your heart. I really do. You believe all Nineveh got saved? Do you, church? I believe you do. Don't be ashamed. Say it loudly. I believe God saved the whole city of Nineveh. And if God can save that city, he can save my city. Amen. Amen. God's in the city-saving business. Amen. Look at verse number 9. This is where it's at. I've got just a couple more points, and then we'll close tonight. This is where it's at, brethren. Don't miss this now. Who can tell? I like this. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger? Now, here it is. Don't miss this. Here's the concern, that we perish not. When people realize they're going to perish, business picks up spiritually. You know the problem with most folks? They don't believe they're going to perish. That's right. They think God's going to give them another chance in some place called purgatory, or they don't believe there's an afterlife. But when a person really takes hold of the truth, repent or perish, it picks up. It picks up. That's why John 3:16, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not, what? Perish. Business picks up right there. When people realize, if I don't do something about my soul, I'm going to perish. I am going to perish. Now, what does it mean to perish? We talked about for about 2 weeks about death. Remember that? What is death? Death ultimately, and I want you to listen carefully, is separation. Physical death, according to James chapter 2, is separation of the body and the spirit. The body without the spirit is dead. Is that right? James 2:26. But there is a second death. What is the second death? It is separation. It is separation from God forever. Revelation 20, verse number 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever, verse 15 says, was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Death ultimately is separation. Perishing is separation from God forever. Forever. Where the wrath of God, John 3:36, just stays on a man and stays on a man. The word is abideth. The wrath of God abideth on him. It just stays on him and stays on him and stays on him and stays on him and stays on him, and it never goes away. The wrath of God never leaves a person. That is the second death, brethren. And it's very real. And the devil has sold his bill of goods to a lost world that is going to hell on a jet ski that feels like, I'm not going to perish. But that's a lie, my brother. That's a lie. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will perish. And this city got concerned. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our city got concerned about perishing? Let me ask you something. Are you concerned about people perishing? Maybe if we got concerned that they were perishing, they would get concerned that they are perishing. Just a thought. Just a thought. When's the last time you prayed and a tear entered your eye because you thought if they don't get saved, they're going to perish? Your eyes welled up with tears. Or you were witnessing to someone, and as you were talking to them and you were telling them about Jesus, that God broke your heart and squeezed your heart, and tears welled up in your eyes because you knew if you don't get saved, you're going to perish. The message of God is repent or perish. Acts 17:30, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Is that right, brethren? Yeah. You know, I'm not opposed to telling people that Jesus loves them. I think we should. But don't forget to tell them now, God commands you to repent, my friend. It's a commandment for you to repent. That was the message of the early church, and it should be our message today. We don't like to hear preaching on repentance. I tell you, our Baptist churches have gotten soft. We think when you mention hell or wrath or perishing that we're mean-spirited. I'll tell you what's mean. For you to twist the Word of God and try to make it something it's not, and try to make God someone He's not, that's mean. Speak the truth in love and let people know, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. These people got concerned. Read it one more time with me before we close in verse number 10 and look at verse 2 of chapter 4. Who can tell if God will repent and turn away from His fierce anger that we perish not? I sure am glad that God will turn away from His anger, aren't you? I'm glad. Jonah knew it, and we'll see that in just a moment. Now look at verse 10. And God saw their works, the works of repentance. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. That's repentance. And God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit next week. Does God repent? Well, that'll be next week's, or the week after next message. How do these people get saved, preacher? They stop doing evil things. Does that get a person saved? Jonah 4:2, and this will be our final scripture before we pray and close the meeting. Jonah wasn't pleased with this, and we'll get into this next time. You would think Jonah would have been, skipping through town, kicking up his heels, praising God, turning cartwheels. Amen. The whole city got saved. Had Jonah, listen to me now, think about this for a moment. Had Jonah not acted the way he acted, Jonah would probably have been revered as the greatest prophet ever to live. You name another prophet that preached and the whole city got saved. The only reason Jonah is not noted as the greatest prophet ever to live is because of his reaction that we'll read about. He was displeased. Could you imagine if Jonah would have just kicked up his heels and praised God and gave God the glory? Could you imagine his legacy? But you get to chapter number 4, verse number 2. And Jonah prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. You want to know why Jonah didn't go? He's getting ready to tell you. God, I knew you'd save those little wicked sinners. I knew that's the kind of God you are. Wasn't this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Jonah knew what kind of God he served. I wonder if you do. Do you really realize the kind of God that you serve? I hope that you do. I hope that you do. Yes, God is a God of justice. God is a God of holiness. But he's a God of grace. And he's a God of mercy. And he offers salvation full and free to everyone that will come to him in faith and trust the finished work of Jesus. Aren't you glad of that? Let's all stand to our feet.